Oh, hello, Rhys James here, you know, from the podcast you're listening to right now. Anyway, this is just a message to let you all know that my big nationwide stand-up tour is coming to its temporary conclusion this Friday, the 19th of May in London at the Hackney Empire, one of the best venues around. I've been on the road since February doing 40-odd dates. I know we've talked about it on this podcast, but this is the big one. Okay, there's a small handful of tickets left. And yes, I do address the fact that I have the same name as a popular Premier League right-back pretty early into the show, almost immediately, in fact. As well as that, I have just announced a short run at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and the autumn tour extension all over the UK and Ireland is going on sale on May the 16th. RhysJames.co.uk is the place to go for all your tickets. That's R-H-Y-S James. You should know that by now. But just to clarify, I am my own man. It's a different name, okay? I don't play for Chelsea, although I would love to play for Pochettino. A single tear rolls down my cheek. If you want to know some of the reviews I've got, here's a perfect example of one. So there we go. Get your tickets and I'll see you there. On with the podcast. Welcome to Fit and Proper. I'm Rhys James.
And I'm Lloyd Griffith.
Each week we delve into the murky world of football club ownership. We're giving control to our famous guests to run their beloved club in their own way.
They can do whatever they like, from changing the manager to moving the stadium closer to their house, sacking the mascot to insisting all their players have blue dreadlocks.
But their decisions will be scrutinised heavily, just like a real owner. Firstly, by Lloyd and I, and then our supercomputer, which will analyse the data and decide if they are a fit and proper person to run a football club.
Hello, Rhys.
Hi, Lloyd. How are you?
Yeah, do you know what, mate? Absolutely not too bad whatsoever, thank you.
Oh yeah, not too bad whatsoever. Nothing bad.
I had to shave my back last night.
Why is that?
I'm getting...
You had to?
Yeah, well, I'm having laser hair removal on my back and shoulders.
Right, and so presumably that... Because that sounds like they're going to do it for you. But presumably you have to have a certain amount of hair for it to work.
So
it
I
can't, as in it can't be as hairy as you were.
Yeah, so essentially they need to... You need to turn up with no hair. So they're just dealing with your back and, you know... follicles.
How do you shave your back? Have you got like a bit in the middle that you couldn't reach? Have you got a Brazilian on your back?
Yeah, I've got
like Richarlison.
I've got Richarlison.
He's got three Brazilians tattooed on his back,
and one of them is himself.
One of them's himself. One of them's his teammate. It's so weird. It's like if you turn up to this podcast with me on your back. You need podcasting royalty. You need yourself, me, and then Adam Buxton on your back.
Do you know? I'd go with although not. Specifically podcast, but isn't in podcast form. And I've Kirsty Young, actually.
Yeah, fair play. Fair play. I don't know that you should be going around with Kirsty Young tattooed on your back, really, but...
why not?
I wouldn't mind being in that sort of Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Is that why you're getting the hair removed, so you can get a tattoo?
I'm getting a tattoo of Kirsty Young on my back, yeah. But I want people to be able to see it. I don't want people to look at Kirsty Young on my back and think it's a BG. Do you know what I mean? Because it's so hairy. And I think if you gave Kirsty Young a beard, she would look like one of the BGs, specifically.
Hey, Lloyd.
The hairy one. Okay, cool.
Desert Island split discs. How do you feel about that?
Yes. What is that?
Is a split disc is in your back, isn't it?
Oh, right. Is it?
Is it?
It's slipped disc.
Slipped disc. Split disc.
Do you want to do it again?
All right, yeah, do it again.
Okay.
Hey, Lloyd, how about this? Desert Island slipped discs.
Oh, that's funny, yeah. Hey, Harry, keep the first one in the edit, if that's all right.
Yeah, keep the first one. People need to know the truth.
I sat next to Kirsty Young at an Elbow gig once.
And did you keep saying, oh, I'd have this one?
What?
Ask me on your show. I'd have this one in my list.
No, I was just saying, can I get have you got a really high res photo that I can take to the tattoo parlor?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She kept saying, can you stop talking? I'm trying to listen to a friend of ours. which they did do at the Hammersmith Apollo.
Speaking of the Hammersmith Apollo, a man who frequents the Hammersmith Apollo with his wild comedy success,
Steve,
is Josh Widdicombe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to say the maintenance guy who looks after the aircon.
Josh Widdicombe has been on Live at the Apollo several times. He's played the Apollo off his own back several times, his own hairy back as well.
Yeah.
And he also plays arenas, sure. Let's not do him down here. The guy plays arenas, all right? But he's an excellent comedian. Josh is obviously British comedy royalty. He's a household name. He's a big Plymouth fan. We've done well to get him on. And he's got a football podcast as well, Quickly Kevin, Will He Score? All about 90s nostalgia, which I can only imagine is the direction he's going to go in with this Plymouth team. Although he supports a Plymouth team that have just got over 100 points. Josh Widdicombe on Plymouth Argyle. What's he going to do to them? Let's find out. Joining us this week on Fit and Proper is a comedian, a writer, a multiple podcast host, and a nostalgia peddler. It's Josh Widdicombe.
I do like to peddle nostalgia.
Obsessed.
Obsessed. Well, you'll see over the next hour, I imagine, that's where I'm at my happiest. But I'm very excited to be here. Thank you.
You're a big football fan? No, yes, I think you did your job there, but you're a big football fan, and it's been an unbelievable month for you.
Yeah, one of the few low points of the season was getting absolutely trounced by Grimsby, which was an astonishing
5-1.
5-1 we lost, and then we went and got 101 points in the division above you. That is absolutely insane.
Which just goes to show that Grimsby Town are absolutely a championship side playing in League Two.
Exactly.
To clarify for listeners who haven't read the title of the episode, we're discussing Plymouth Argyle.
Yeah.
We didn't address that. You grew up in that part of the world.
I grew up equidistant between Plymouth and Exeter. Let's be honest, closer to Exeter. But
Newton Abbot, is that right?
No, that's where near Newton Abbot. That was my nearest town, which obviously Charlie Baker's from, obviously. I grew up on a small village on Dartmoor, like a tiny village on Dartmoor.
Which village is it called, if you don't mind asking?
No, it's fine. Haytor Vale, H-A-Y-T. Oh, do you know it?
Yeah, well, yeah, I went to university in Exeter, so I'm familiar with the mad churches of Dartmoor. There's me, name dropping again.
Yeah.
Just down the road from Widdicombe in the Moor, is that right?
Yes, just down the road. Oh, my word. Sorry, Reese, you're out the game for this next hour.
That's all right. I'll sit this out.
It's 1D, though, isn't it? It's not the same. Is it any relation to Widdicombe? Wide Combe. Is that what they call it?
Well, that's where it comes from.
Oh, right.
That's where,
So you're proper Devonshire born and bred?
No. No, brilliant. I'm not. I was born in Hammersmith.
Oh, wow. And
then we moved there when I was 3 and a half because my dad had lived in Cornwall. Dad's kids from the previous marriage lived in Cornwall, so it was to be closer to them. So that's why I ended up in Devon. It's a coincidence that Widdicombe in the Moor was 6 miles from where I grew up.
Wow.
So there you go.
You were equidistant between two clubs and you chose Plymouth over Exeter.
Bigger. My first game, this is terrible, was Exeter City.
Wow.
We went to watch Exeter City because they got, in 89-90, Exeter won what was then Division 4. And we went and watched them. And then we went to watch Plymouth soon after. But with my brother, like, it worked better because family-wise, because they were from Cornwall, so that was Plymouth. But also, the first Plymouth game I saw was Brian Clough was there with Nottingham Forest and got his signature, and it just all felt very exciting and big. And when you look back, it was an awful ground, but at the time it felt like the new camp.
It's mad that it's felt so significant to you because of another club. It's the club
you
were playing against,
I suppose,
made it feel like a big deal that you were like, oh, I'll support these guys.
Yeah, exactly. And also, it wasn't in the league. It was in the Rumbelows Cup. So it wasn't even that we were playing them by right. It could have easily been Exeter. But it was just a bigger ground, let's be honest. Awful, isn't it?
Mm.
Total glory hunter.
Do you still get to games a lot at the moment, Josh?
Not a lot, because it's so far. And it's difficult with young children. Because I've got a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old that, like, it's very difficult after a week of parenting and I'm working to go, anyway, I'm off to Plymouth because we've got Lincoln at home. Although I did go to Lincoln at home. That's a bad example. but yeah, I don't get to that many games. London's obviously better for the away games. Plymouth have got an incredible away support because so many people grow up in the Southwest, then move for work, that there's so many displaced Plymouth fans that we've got a kind of overly large away support comparatively to our home support, traditionally.
Mm, That makes sense.
We get that a lot. We get that a lot. And also as well, I'm not sure if you get this. I think you probably don't, because I've been to a couple of Plymouth games. Plymouth is quite rowdy, but at Grimsby, the home games at the moment are quite like comatose, whereas the away days are very rowdy.
Totally. The away days are very rowdy. There's a real... I know that I'm going to sound like... does this make me sound like an old fogey? It feels edgier these days, away games. Like, I don't want to throw around things, but it feels like there's been a lot of Class A drugs done by a lot of people around you. Do you know what I mean? There feels like... It feels slightly, I don't know, more like it could kick off at any moment in an unpleasant way.
Yeah. But
does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Well, I think the whole thing is like, you know, people, for example, like when I go to the game, Grimsby games, I sit with my mum. Do you know what I mean? We go into the executive lounge beforehand.
That's the thing, isn't it? At the home games, you control where you sit.
Exactly. And you're with usually your family, people you know, and you've got to go back to that same area and going, oh God, you remember when I called the referee a bald cunt? Whereas actually, when you're away, you can be anywhere. You're not with your parents, and you know you can get Class A drugs on most trains now.
And there is a
real edge, isn't there, to when you arrive at an away ground and you're like, "Where? Who am I going to be next to?
Yeah.
What kind of area am I?" Yeah. It's a real like lottery ticket that away.
And as well, especially with like lower league games, where you kind of get given maybe say between 1,000 and 4,000 seats, and you've had to buy them individually. So people are just clumped in, like, "Mate, we don't give a shit if this is your seat. Just fucking find somewhere to stand." You're like, "Oh, brilliant, nice one, cheers. I'll just go and I'll just go and stand next to a steward at the front then."
Yeah, and to clarify, it's sort of Class A drug, really, isn't it? There's one main one. No one's doing heroin.
Yeah, there's very few people on ecstasy.
If anything, I think a lot of people need to take mushrooms a little bit more. Just a lot of people taking ayahuasca, you know, before Morecambe away.
Now, Josh, we've got to discuss, because there's been recently on social media, there's been some good football content from you. First of all, at the cup final.
The Papa John's Cup final,
which I don't think I think
you
really
laugh
wanna...
at the Papa John's, Lloyd.
I don't want to call it that. It's the John's. It's still, come on, it's not the Papa John's Cup.
Papa is not the Papa John's Cup as of next season.
What's next season?
I don't know if they've announced that yet, but it is the last year of Papa John's. So I was slightly hoping we'd win so that we'd hold it forever. Do you know what I mean?
The eternal Papa John's trophy.
One last slice of the pizza. I guess you could say something along those lines.
Yes, you could, definitely.
So I see it as the auto windscreen trophy.
Yeah, so do I. Auto windscreens.
All the LDV vans.
Exactly.
Potentially Johnston's paint, but
I'm a Johnston's paint era man.
I think the Papa John's, and I can say this because we lost, I don't think they worked as a sponsor, because I think as auto windscreens, Johnston's paint and LDV vans show, it needs to be a sponsor that is used by people in trades. Do you know what I mean? It needs to be. It needs to be what would be advertised on TalkSport. That is what we're looking for when we're sponsoring the lower league.
Yeah, but in a very deep voice.
I've got Accrington and the Selco. What? I've got Accrington and the Selco. Have you? Oh, right. But also, I think that's quite weird how, as you said, I mentioned about the trades, and I guess this trades, and nostalgia, really. Like the Rumbelows Cup, like, I mean, people did use Rumbelows because essentially it was like TVs on credit, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
And then there was the Littlewoods, which was essentially...
Was that like Argos?
It was a catalogue, which was on credit. And then you got Coca-Cola, which people drank, and then Carling, which people drank. What's it now? Yeah. The Carabao. I mean, it's gone
weirdly enough. I was discussing this on Twitter yesterday, because they're trying to rename BT Sport as TNT Sport. And I was saying, it's not going to happen. Right. You're going to be in Carling Cup territory for the rest of your lives. Where people are just, it's a bit like 4OD, isn't it? Where it's just like... Look, we're not going to make the mental switch and call it the Carabao Cup. None of us are going to do that.
Yeah, what is four called now?
All Four.
All Four, of course it is,
It's where you can catch up on things like The Last Leg, for example. I mean, you should know that.
Well,
Josh.
No one does. I'll be honest. Who's watching a live topical show in a situation where they're not just watching it because it's on? Let's be honest.
Don't spoil it. I'm only on series one.
Can I say on that that my favourite is surely when it was the milk cup, which was before my time.
But that's what a lot of people still call it, the milk cup. Yeah, because it's
just
a mad
generally
thing,
but... milk.
Just promoting milk.
Just promoting milk.
Like, it's mad that the milk board thought that more people, there were people who had heard of the League Cup who weren't aware of milk.
Well, it's like the League Cup had been nationalised, you know what I mean, by milk.
But also, milk at that point had a complete monopoly. If anything, now is when they need to come back. They're loose is the worst period in history for milk.
I've got to say, I'd love to see the oat cup. Soy cup.
The soy cup. Oh, my God.
No one wants to win the soy cup.
I think there was a time where the milk cup, I'm not sure, you remember when West Brom had the no smoking sign on their kit?
It, yeah.
That would have been like peak. Kind of just like, I don't know, again, nationalisation of just no smoking, no smoking West Brom playing in the Milk Cup. just like absolutely anti-capitalist era. Just quickly, Plymouth have just been promoted with 101
points.
101 points.
And you were there the other day when that
it was
confirmed.
So it was when we were promoted, then we won the championship the week after. I wasn't at the championship win at Port Vale. I didn't really care that much about the championship. It was more promotion was the important thing.
And you were then in the changing room after, right? That was what was
No, I didn't go to the changing room. I went to the chairman's lounge because I texted the chairman and he said, come for a drink. So I went to the chairman's lounge and then I went to the player lounge and then I had to get the train back to London, which was gutting because you're literally leaving a party full of Plymouth Argyle players celebrating promotion.
Yeah. So, your heroes, all your heroes achieving your dream.
Yeah. Well, not, next year, that's hopefully the case.
So you're friends with the chairman, Simon Hallett?
I wouldn't say I'm friends, but I'm...
You have his number?
I have his number, yeah.
So how are you friends with him?
Because I dropped into his DMs on Twitter.
Wow.
Oh, lovely stuff.
Yeah. Because he followed me on Twitter, so I thought... You don't miss opportunities like that. I've had success and failure with heroes DMs on Twitter and Instagram. So I've dropped into Graham Coxon's DMs from Blur and got a response, which I was delighted by because he's my hero. But Ben Stokes has ignored me twice.
Twice. The key word there. That second one.
Nish Kumar absolutely obsessed with... Do you want to hear my two messages to Ben Stokes?
Of course. They are
mortifying. They were both after hugely incredible things he'd done. So times when I'd say he's dealing with a lot of traffic. I'm telling myself that.
Does he follow you?
Yeah. So he follows me.
Great.
Yeah, I'm not a saddo. May the 31st. I don't know what this is in response to 2019. That catch was the highlight of my year so far. Good luck with the World Cup. Nothing.
No, not even like. You can't be responded to that. That's 10 a penny.
I followed it. Oh, man alive. In August of the same year with, you have twice made my summer. You are the greatest English cricketer of my lifetime.
My God.
Thank you. Oh, that is mortifying.
Well, thanks for coming on the podcast today, Josh. We've really enjoyed your input.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing which bit you clip up for social media. That'll be interesting.
Oh, don't worry, we don't do that.
Another podcast. So, let's say Chris Stark was hosting this, there'd be now a national campaign to get Ben Stokes to reply to you. Yeah. We just don't have that kind of pull, Josh. Okay, we'd be looking at you to get us in with him, if anything.
Well,
and
I'd
we've
be
seen
mortified.
That you can't do that.
Yeah.
Reese, no. Have you got anyone that you've replied? You've sent a message to on the DMs?
Yeah,
and
it's
reply.
It was quite a thing. After a few Spurs games, we'd go into the excellent Beavertown brewery that's in the stadium. And me and a friend that I would go with realised that if you just say to a lot of Spurs fans of our generation, the name of a Tottenham player, go on their Instagram and click messages, there'll be a message in there that you've sent that you have no memory of sending while battered.
Oh,
and we basically were just naming players and trying to get more obscure and seeing if we'd sent a message. And there was loads to Harry Kane There was a few to Eric Dyer. After Eric Dyer ran off and took a shit during a cup game and then came back on and won Man of the Match, I sent him a message just about how brilliant that was. But the best one was me inviting Jan Vertonghen to do my previous podcast, Early Work, about teenage poetry.
And did you no ever get a response? Obviously.
No, of course not. Not from any of them.
Oh, that's... Yeah.
Not a single response. But none of them follow me, so it was all just like completely in the request.
Had they seen it? Yeah. No, they hadn't seen it. I have, this is what I'll show you here, just 6 messages to Jordan Pickford.
They're long messages as well.
All of which.
Paragraphs.
And then what's that? They're just seen. All seen. Absolutely seen.
Oh,
yeah.
So, amazing.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Just the England goalkeeper that his app just doesn't.
Well, he
sees
stuff too late quite often, doesn't he? So that's.
Oh, that is great.
Well, I think I know which bit we'll be editing from the podcast. Thank you. Because
he's not
going to
reply, Lloyd.
He does listen. He's a silent listener. Do you know what I mean? Doesn't leave a review, but listens. So in short, you're very happy with the way in which Simon's running Plymouth Argyle.
He's incredible. He's the best. Our previous times of success have been kind of, not despite the owners, but it's been, when we had Paul Starrick as manager, he was such a good lower league manager that we did well. And in those days, but this is top to bottom, an incredibly run club, from the manager to the director of football, to the chairman, to the chief exec, the whole thing is really well. And he says, like, I've got the money to make us a financially secure championship club. I can't take us any further. So that's all, like, he's a guy from Plymouth who went to America, made loads of money in hedge funds. So he's very money ball, very like, we've got to outperform our budget because we've got to think better than other people because we haven't got more money. It's all very brilliantly done. So I love him. So
Hang on, before you get into those, there's some breaking news, actually.
Some breaking news, Justin. Breaking news just here on TSW that Josh Widdicombe has become the new owner of Plymouth Argyle Football Club. Josh Widdicombe, the new owner of Plymouth Argyle Football Club. That's Devon's second favourite comedian, taking charge of Devon's third best football team. Josh Widdicombe, the new owner of Plymouth Argyle.
Wow, Josh, you've done it. You were just saying how perfect they are. How happy you are with them, and now
how much you love decided, Simon.
Yeah, you've decided. You know, you've already invested a lot in your sticker books. Let's spread
the
wallet
books
a little bit further.
I've made the money from the sticker books.
Is that how you've afforded it? You've sold those. Brilliant. Those are an investment.
A sticker magnate, I describe myself as.
Mr. Panini himself.
Yeah, exactly. I played the sticker market. I put my money in stickers and it's worked.
It's
out.
Weird, isn't it? Because everyone thought it was going to be NFTs. But actually.
Exactly.
It's come full circle.
It was just tees.
It was just tees. You go fungible. That's what you want to do. Purely fungible.
So investing my sticker millions. Admittedly, you know, it wasn't popular what I did with the sticker books, buying them all up and then just renting them out so no one could have their own sticker book. But that's how it works.
I imagine also you got some sort of like sweatshop going on somewhere as well. And like a black market, people just nicking them off school kids. But
yeah, exactly. It's been a tough road to the top, but I've got there. So the way I view it is with the, you know, we've been in the championship before, but we're the most well-run, we're the most professional, we're the most, you know, reliable to follow we've ever been. But was it more fun when we were shit? Do you know what I mean? I've got a friend who supports Brentford and he said he's already bored.
It's just such an English attitude, isn't it?
Yeah. He's dreamed of Brentford being in the Premier League. What is it? Second year, third year? I can't even remember. And he's already bored of it. That's my fear. I don't want to be Swansea. I don't want to be Charlton. I don't want to be, who are the other ones that have, well, Bournemouth to an extent. Got Brighton now. Brighton, I bet Brighton are bored of their fucking back teeth. Is it not more fun to be in the Auto Windscreens Cup? Is it not more fun to be playing at shit grounds? Is it not more fun to have a shit ground yourself?
They want to be back at the with Dean. Do you know what I mean? They don't want
exactly.
to be, they don't want to be looking at European football.
No, they want an easy
Tuesday night to Crawley. They don't want to be going to Krakow.
Exactly. Wimbledon had the right idea. They went all the way back down to the bottom and they rebuilt Plough Lane. That is exactly what you should be doing. Do you know what I mean?
So you're actively the achievements you've just had, which is getting promoted, yeah. winning the league. You're going to yeah. actively try and undo that.
Yes.
And can I also Simon said, I've got the budget to make it a sustainable championship.
You can't say Simon said, because that's a game that means that me and Reese then have to do Simon said.
Okay, your ex-chair said, I can make you a sustainable championship football team, but no higher. That was his kind of motto, yeah. as it were. Not motto, yeah. but his what's yeah. your deliverable? What are you saying?
Is it not more fun if we're yo-yoing between League One and League Two?
Lovely.
That's
as a Grimsby fan, that is the dream for me.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Why don't we go back to yo-yoing between League One and League Two? And do you know how I'm going to set my stall out? You've got to start, you know, like you've got to set your stall out like Trump's wall, or, you know, get Brexit done. You need a trademark policy that you begin with, yeah?
Mm.
So, day one, why are these diggers here? Because we're knocking down all the new stands. We're rebuilding the old ground. We're the only team that are making our ground substantially worse.
Great.
On day one, because it was more exciting. So we've currently got a 16,500 ground with a scoreboard that works, right? With a screen. All seated these days. So you
want to go back to standing with a scoreboard that doesn't work?
Yeah. So the away end used to be going back to the home park 1990 when I started going. Yeah. So the away end, we're going to bulldoze the seats and it's going to be replaced with just a terraced rake. Just a terraced, you know, slope with a scoreboard above it that didn't work for 5 or 6 years before it was removed. Yeah. And a bit of trivia on this away end. It had no roof. So if it rained too hard, the away supporters were brought into the home end.
Oh, my God.
As a kind of health and safety measure.
Oh, my God. That is insane.
Wow. So I was going to say, really pissing it down. Yeah.
How will your retro stadium match up to modern health and safety standards? I mean, does it just not...
You're still allowed terracing, aren't you?
You are.
Yeah, in the lower leagues. Yeah.
If you're going to just yo-yo between those leagues, I think you're
probably
fine. Yes.
If anything, we're ensuring our future in the bottom leagues by not having...
to make the difference for the Premiership. Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, famously, just down the road in Exeter, they have a big old terraced bank, the Big Bank.
The Big Bank. Yeah exactly. So the away end... this was before my time, but there's an anecdote. So the away end, which was obviously no roof, so the ball would go over a lot, but it used to back onto a zoo. Because Home Park is in a park, so it used to have a zoo. And there's a story about someone hitting a wayward shot, the ball disappearing, and then 2 seconds later, hearing an elephant trumpet.
A deflated ball just on a tusk.
Yeah.
Like a cartoon.
Yeah. So I'd bring the zoo back, presume, with that, unlike the ground, that would be fully, the animals would be in modern standards, just to be clear, with the zoo.
Oh, that's a shame.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, yeah. You've got no roof. Giraffes can just be watching the game, presumably.
Exactly.
All the bigger animals.
Like, and we've talked a lot about Exeter, but at the away end of Exeter, there used to be a couple of houses where people could watch from their windows.
On top of the bay windows, yeah.
Yeah, and I think there is a Leighton Orient, maybe. I think that's a much underrated thing in football. And also, the country needs more houses, right? So I'd build terraced houses around the ground that have got the extra selling point that you get to watch the games.
Great.
Yeah,
love that.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. No, I'm in.
But that's my only concession to modernism, is. And those houses wouldn't be built in an olden day style, just to be clear. No new builds.
No, some Victorian terrace houses.
Victorian terrace houses, yeah. There was a period where the chairman, Dan McCauley, in the 90s, fell out with the local paper, the Evening Herald and the Western Morning News, and banned them from the ground. But there was a there's a car park next to the ground that obviously, I don't know if it is now, but it wasn't owned by the club then. And the Evening Herald parked a cherry picker in the car park. And, and the two journalists, like the, I don't know whether it'd be the photographer or maybe that was Getty, like the journalists would be in a cherry picker watching from up there.
So that's excellent. So you're, but yeah, you'd be on board. You seem like you're quite happy with that. So if that sort of thing were to happen,
yeah,
again,
that, I'd bring
well
that
on
back
board with that. Yeah, you'd, bring so that, you'd have a cherry picker. Back.
I'd have a cherry picker. Yeah, and it was like, it's mad how bad it was at that time, and you didn't realize like that is just so badly run. There was the stand we sat in, which is the Lyndhurst stand, which was the opposite side to the grandstand,
named after Nicholas.
Named after Nicholas Lyndhurst. Yeah. yeah, the chairman was a huge fan of butterflies before.
Oh, that classic gossip.
In many ways, this is like Goodnight Sweetheart. This is this kind of this situation. We're
going back into time.
Yeah.
To make things definitely better.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was a bit where the ball was kicked and it hit the roof of the Lyndhurst stand above us. And a piece of metal just fell down about that big, maybe, like the size of maybe, I don't know, a crumpet. And
what's a reference point?
I don't know what's that bit, a beer mat maybe.
Yeah,
what would your reference point be for that?
A small bread
yeah, okay. Maybe like four panini stickers,
four panini, yeah, okay. So and my dad picked up the piece of metal. I don't know what happened to it, but he like went and got it. And I don't know, that would be a good bit of memorabilia, but I imagine.
Isn't that mad that you can, you're in a stadium where metal can fall from the roof and you could just have it, but now you can't have a lid on your bottle in case you throw it at the player.
Yeah, exactly.
But you've now just got, or you're holding a weapon, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a crumpet-sized piece of metal.
Yeah.
Just frisbee that at the opposition goalie.
Exactly.
So this is the stadium stuff pretty much taken care of, as in you're going back in time. Is there anything else that you're taking back into time?
Actually,
as
Lloyd, still on the stadium, actually.
Sorry, Rich.
What's the catering? Are you going back in time for catering in the stadium?
Yes. But I don't think the catering's moved on particularly.
Oh, so that is pretty old school, is it?
Well, I don't know. Like, football catering is football. We're still chips and pasties. It's not overly, like, obviously in the executive suite there's a three-course meal, but in reality you're still getting chips and pasties, and I don't see that as a food type has really evolved in the last 20 years. A chip is a chip and a pasty is a pasty, particularly in Devon. Like, Plymouth Argyle have always been quite pleased with their pasties, obviously, because it's quite a
That's been a pretty high standard compared to the rest.
And you were sponsored by Ginsters for a few years.
We were sponsored by Ginsters for years. Which I actually think led to a decrease in the quality of the pasties available in the stadium. Because we were forced to have the Ginsters, I think. But I might be wrong on that, but I think, because I'm not a pasty connoisseur. But I think there used to be a company, which is Southwest Pasty Company, called Ivor Dewdney, who... which seemed to be a better pasty. That's all I'm saying.
You don't want to get dragged into it.
I don't want to get dragged into it.
You're on the Express.
I'm not here
Echo.
To make enemies. I'm not here to make enemies.
Someone's still hoping for the Ginsters sponsorship on Instagram.
Exactly.
Just in case Ginsters want
Ginstagram,
to get
that's what I'd call it. I'd be happily change my name to Ginstagram.
Ginstagram. We've done it. And it doesn't matter that you've said that they're definitely worse.
No, I don't think they are. I think the thing with Ginsters, which is an incredible, is that they are catering for a mass market. So obviously either Judney have got the time to make these handmade pasties. Ginsters simply haven't, because they're such a successful business that
Oh my God, what a company man this is. This is the sort of owner you need. The diplomacy in every answer. Yeah. This feels like Daniel Levy for the last 2 months.
Yeah.
Just look, we've taken the decision, Coy's Daniel at the end of every message. Pathetic.
There was a Plymouth link to Tottenham recently. There was an interview with Stephen Schumacher, our manager in the Times, about all his very modern methods. And one of his modern methods he does is he went to watch rugby team train, and the players go into their groups, defence, for football it'd be defence, midfield, attack, I don't know what it is, for rugby I've got no interest, right? And then they like train in their groups. And one of the things they do in rugby is the players would lead the training. Like, you know, like one of those really progressive schools where the kids like teach themselves.
Yeah.
And the players would lead the training and they'd, the players would be the ones that take through the videos and stuff. And he's implemented that at Plymouth and it empowers the players and it makes them more engaged. And he said he was on, when he was doing his training with Ryan Mason, is it? The Spurs manager? Yeah. At time of record. He said to Ryan Mason, I'm going to try this thing at Argyle. And Ryan Mason said, I just couldn't do that at Spurs because Harry Kane just couldn't do that. Ryan Mason basically said Harry Kane doesn't have it in him to lead a training session.
Well.
What? I'm sorry. And Stephen Schumacher said this in the Times.
I couldn't believe it.
That Harry Kane could not lead a training session.
Well, no, that's what Ryan Mason said.
He's the only player, I think, in the Spurs squad who could.
Well, there is only one way of finding out.
Take it with Ryan Mason.
There is only one way of finding out if Harry Kane could lead a training session, and that is, Reece, if you send him another message.
don't worry. Oh, there'll be some other messages. If you think I haven't messaged Kate Kane, his wife, as well, I mean, come on.
That's getting a bit weird now, mate.
Quite weird, quite odd. Yeah.
Well, just to say, do you remember how we saw her after that England game, and I was absolutely starstruck going, that's Kate Kane. And everyone was like, who the fuck's that? It was Harry Kane's wife. Kane. This is huge. No one cares. Yeah.
Kate Kane hanging out with James Corden. Very weird evening.
But still, Josh, you're not going to want to implement any of these modern methods anyway.
No.
Like having your players running running training, because it's way too modern for you. So are you sacking off loads of the current squad and getting back the old guard?
I'm sacking off the manager. Because he doesn't deserve to be at such a backwards facing club. He's got a huge future.
Wow.
So for his own good, I'm moving Stephen Schumacher to a progressive club because this club's intentionally going backwards.
So it's almost like you're letting him out of the zoo to run wild.
Exactly. Okay. If you love someone, set them free. And if you love someone, set them free and replace them with Neil Warnock. That's my attitude.
I cannot tell you how many times on this podcast Neil Warnock has been brought in as the manager or some sort of managerial position.
Well, he was Plymouth manager for 1.5 seasons in the 90s, and we won at Wembley, and then he fell out with the owner, and the football was, you know, interesting, and we had Bruce Grobbelaar in goal, and we were, you know, not the team we are now, but he was everything the lower divisions are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This was pre-Warnock being such a big star, I suppose.
You made know. Him.
No, I wouldn't say we made him, but we were certainly a stepping stone.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's going to step on so many stones that he ends up back there.
Well, he lives in Cornwall, so he's constantly rumoured, because he loved it down here so much that he, when he's not working from May till February every year, he lives in Cornwall. So he's always, I'm not so much now, because it's not quite the tone of the club now. But for years, he was always rumoured every time the Plymouth job came up because he has a house nearby.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's okay. So you're saving, he's saving money on his commute. He likes to cycle as well. It seems like that's doable.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Warnock in. Any old, what about players?
Yeah, I'd bring back all the old players from the 90s as well. Or players in the similar vein. Two big clumping centre-backs, ideally. Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's been like quite like famous, like absolutely no disrespect to the Plymouth era of the 90s, but were there any big hitters, big names, who would people
love
to welcome back?
We haven't had a huge amount of players that have come through on the way up. if that makes sense.
Which goes against this the phrase, you play here twice in your career, once on the way down. It's just the way down.
You just Dan Gosling. Here, yeah. Dan Gosling started at Plymouth. Yeah, big name. Mark Edworthy, who played for Crystal Palace in the... Balassi played with us before Ooh. Making it into the Premier League. Sylvain Ebanks, Blake a bit.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So are they all coming back, or is Balassi's not? It doesn't really feel like
No. They're not the right kind of players. We're bringing back the players that won the... Maybe just the players that won the Division 3 playoff final in 1996. That exact team.
So the idea of a centre-back who can pass a football... No chance.
Just not on our... Like, headers we currently only. Play. We currently play three at the back, and our defenders are all, you know, given license to bring the ball forward and spray passes around. There'll be none of that. None of the war.
Ideas above your station, boy.
There's a Plymouth Argyle message board that I would describe as the unhappiest place on earth.
They all are.
They're so unhappy, people on message boards, football message boards. And we were top of the league. It's still unhappy. We won the league and we had our trophy ceremony, you know, going around on the bus on Monday. And there was still a 9-page string about how the BBC was against us because it hadn't got enough coverage on the local news. And you're like, what are you doing with your life? And you are right. The word woke ideology was thrown in by one post. But anyway, why did I bring that up? Oh yeah, one person on there. We literally won the league. We're literally playing the best football we ever played. He said, I'm not a fan of this passing between the centre-back stuff, but I'm willing to put up with it because of the results we're getting. And you're like, this is unbelievable.
I'm willing to put
Your
up
main
with it.
Issue at the moment is that our football is... He's too tippy-tappy as we get 101 points in League One.
But it is such a thing at the moment, isn't it? Like, you know, people just get bored of it, of it going, oh, this is boring, and going, it wins games. Like, you score
goals
from
it. And also, it's not boring. Boring is knocking it up.
Yeah, lumping it up. Oh, a corner. Yeah. Oh, lumping it up. Yeah. Oh, a goal kick. Sorry, also, am I right? I might absolutely be wrong. But I'm sure this fits the absolute Venn diagram of Josh Widdicombe bringing a nostalgic edge to Plymouth. Did Taribo West not play for Plymouth?
Yeah, he played four games.
Yeah. Surely he's coming
right
back.
Right towards the end of his career. Yeah, at the time, he was old. And how do you... I don't know. I think this is public knowledge, isn't it? Like this... There was... He wasn't just old on paper, but there was also the added, you know, the added rumours that a lot of those Nigerian players had changed their age. So he was old on paper and potentially older than his lie. Do you know what I mean? Like
a Russell Kane age. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'm not getting involved in that.
Oh, Russell's fine with it. He knows how old he is.
He's great. He loves the Ginsters. They're both great brands, Russell Kane and Ginsters.
You can't have Taribo West anyway because he wasn't in the he's not in the 96.
No. So I'd have like Mick Heathcote, who was a really uncompromising centre back, whose nickname was the plaque fans' favourite. He won Player of the Year, but his nickname was Mick Hoofcoat because he hoofed the ball so far.
Love it.
Defense.
Whoever came up with that, took the day off.
He once chased. He obviously go up for corners because he was massive, and he once. Ended up in the position where he chased the ball into the... Like, the ball went back into the corner, and for some reason, he was the player that had ended up chasing it down. And so, for the first time in his career, he found himself in the position of a tricky winger. And he did a Cruyff turn, and the crowd cheered like you've never... Like, of course he can do that, because he's a professional footballer.
Yeah.
But you just presumed he couldn't even do maybe five keep-ups because he was so industrial.
That is brilliant.
But yeah, all that kind of stuff, please.
Nostalgia with the kit. I'm assuming keeping green. That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, I suppose. But yeah, but we'd go back to the green, the brighter green that we used to have, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want the 96 kit to match this.
Well, we had our away kit this year was a kind of ode to the 96 kit. It was a kind of a takeoff of the 96, referential towards the 96 kit. I'd go back to Admiral as our kit supplier. I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
I'd go back to maybe I'd take the, well, there's no smoking was obviously the West Brom one. So maybe I'd go with a different kind of public panic. Not that smoking was a public panic. I'd say actually that was a good message.
That was legit. You just want a sign, but, like a symbol that we associate with.
So like maybe no sniffing glue or something. Like,
right. Oh, like a PSA. You want like a PSA type sign.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk to Frank.
Why do you go back to your
no running, no bombing? Maybe that was
why don't you make away days a little bit friendlier? Just like have no class A's.
No class A's. Yeah, come on, guys. Yeah, exactly.
Don't do coke.
So there'd be a picture of a line of cocaine and a £10 note with a big red cross through it. That's what would be on our kit.
That's your sponsor, Admiral, yeah. Making the kit.
Yeah.
I'm actually just looking at the on Wikipedia. I'm not sure if you're the website wikipedia.org. On the Plymouth Argyle section, 92 to 96, you were sponsored as the brand by Admiral. 96 to 98, you were sponsored with Super League.
Super League
don't have a Wikipedia entry
as well. They did Torquay as well. That was a nice kit, the Super League one, but. SL was their logo, but I don't know what. Yeah, I don't know. That was a classic lower league kit supplier. And then we went to Area.
You did, yeah.
Who made the Middlesbrough kit. You know the Middlesbrough kit with the stripe through the middle?
Yeah. Emerson, Juninho?
Yeah, that one. We had that in green. You know when two teams have the same kit in the... Yeah.
Like Grimsby and Lazio.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I think
Then it was Patrick,
yeah. So we've had some big ones. Who are we now?
TFG. Puma,
that's... TFG. Yeah.
What the hell is TFG?
I miss ices and peps, I think. I don't know. But no, I don't know what TFG is. It feels... The fact that a League One club can be playing in Puma feels like... You know when they say the game's gone? That feels like the game's gone. Do you know what I mean? I don't think you should have such a top make in the bottom divisions. I don't think anyone in the bottom divisions, if I was to bring in a financial fair play law, I'd say no one in the bottom two divisions could have a kit made by Adidas, Nike, Puma, or Reebok, or Umbro. They have to be.
Not even Umbro.
Or what's the one that people have now? Under Armour. I don't think you can have that either. Yeah. So I think it has to be a brand which you didn't know still existed or didn't know existed at all.
Where does Kappa fit into this?
That's not allowed in the lower leagues because Barcelona are Kappa.
I've just sent a little link here. Grimsby Town generally have the same kit as AC Milan.
Oh, wow.
So Lotto did a kit and they gave it to AC Milan and also Grimsby Town.
But their sponsor was
Opal. Who got it first?
Yeah.
Their sponsor was Opal and yours was Food Town.
Excuse me. It's Europe's Food Town. Thank you.
So what is that? Is that a place or is that just a claim?
Well, no, essentially we at one point, what there was one year where Grimsby produced more pizzas than Italy, which is not a joke. That is a
amazing.
Stat.
Because is that because you've got a factory?
We've got so many frozen factories. Yeah. So it was like McCain's was there. Finders. So we had all these factories that were making pizzas. So we actually produced more pizzas than Italy at one point.
That's such a good fact.
But then we were just called Europe's Food Town because we produced a lot of the food for Europe, mainly frozen goods and also a little bit of fish. But I just thought, just a little bit of nostalgia. Good.
This is the most fun I've ever had on a podcast, I think. That's the
also, the shirt sponsor for 92 through to 98, which is a good, you know, a good shift, Rotolock.
Yeah, so a bit of trivia about that. That was Dan McCauley, who owned the club. That was his company, Industrial Components Company, and he was a very unpopular chairman. And so a lot of people, including myself, put tape across the sponsorship of their replica shirt.
Oh, my God. What a protest that is, to cover the Rotolock logo.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, like... Rotolock was like, I don't know how much business they were getting from that. Or if is that, because there wouldn't have been financial fair play at that point. So I don't know. You know how like Etihad is obviously, well, you can't say, but it's maybe arguably a way for money to go into a club, right?
Mm.
So mm-hmm. Lloyd's keeping very quiet on it. But I don't know why he felt like Rotolock needed to sponsor the club. Wouldn't it have been better to get money? He's already giving us money. Wouldn't it be better to get money
but
from
another
source?
But he's
getting,
I guess, free advertising. He thinks it's his way to
get
an
industrial components company.
Also, he's
they stink of the lower league cup, don't they? As a kind of
I think it's a good place to advertise Rotolock when you've got the Devon Expressway on your doorstep.
Yeah, of course.
So all the trades that you're going to be doing is absolutely unbelievable.
I've just Googled Rotolock, based in Tiverton. Two reviews on Google, 3 stars.
Well, there we go.
Well, Rotary Valves
died now, so I'm glad it's still going without him.
Shit, I feel bad now.
No, don't.
Oh, no, one 5-star and one star.
Yeah, well, that was me, the 1-star.
Can I read you? Sorry.
Rotary Valves. Oh, they've still got the same logo.
Can I read you the 1-star review of Rotolock Limited? Wouldn't recommend renting a unit from Rotolock or at 4 p.m, whichever one they go under at the time. Wouldn't deal with Chris Bourne, the agent. Had them change my locks with no notice given. He's a bully, the agent Chris Bourne. Tell him the problems, wastes it, washes it under the carpet. And the comedian Mark Thomas left that review. Weirdly.
Did he?
No, he just says Mark Thomas.
Someone called Mark Thomas.
I hope his grammar's got a little bit better.
Well, Josh, a quick question on the kit. Collar or no collar?
Collar.
Collar, yeah. I would have thought so. I'm assuming you're going to keep a lot of these things, but the badge, for example, how new is this current badge that you've got?
Let's have a look at the current badge.
Also, have you seen, there was a guy.
So I think it is a good badge.
It's a lovely badge, that.
Have
the
you seen the
green with the white ship? Oh, it's so nice.
I think that's been our badge forever, really.
Have you seen the Guardian article where basically it alludes to the fact that club crests with ships might have to change due to slavery connotations?
Well, this one represents the Mayflower. This ship is the Mayflower on the badge.
I tell you what, Lloyd, you didn't need to use the word the Guardian in that. We would have bloody known before you'd said it, wouldn't we?
The woke mob, as they say on the message boards.
I tell you what, the message board's going to go into overdrive when we change our ship. Change our ship into a bloody picture of Jeremy Corbyn, I imagine. it's basically been a variant on the exact same thing for years. So, do you know what I mean? It's perfect, really.
Yeah, and you don't want to modernize it. This is the whole point of your club. It needs to stay a ship. You can't make it a Prius.
No, exactly.
It has to remain a ship. So what about the nickname? Because you're the Pilgrims. It's the Mayflower, which obviously is the ship that carried
the Mayflower's Pilgrims. Also the grandstand's called the Mayflower.
Lovely.
So you've got this big, there's a whole identity running through. Are you keeping the nickname the Pilgrims?
Yes, I am keeping the nickname the Pilgrims, yeah. Do you know what? After you said about Nicholas Lyndhurst, I think I'm going to rename the other 3 stands after the other actors from Only Fools and Horses.
About 12 seconds ago, I was about to say, well, you've got the Lyndhurst stand, the David Jason stand, and the Uncle Albert stand. Because I didn't know what
Uncle Albert's. Buster Merrifield, obviously. So, but I think Buster Merrifield stand would be a really good name for
Merrifield
and
the Mayflower.
Mayflower and the Merrifield is so nice.
Yeah. And then there'd be a stand named after whoever played Cassandra, but I can't remember her name. Gwyneth Strong, that was her name. So there you go.
Did you just remember that off the top of your head, or have you used some Googling?
Yeah, I loved Only Fools and Horses.
Wow.
She was, Only Fools and Horses is incredible. Anyway, it's neither here nor there at this stage. The Pilgrims is fine. It's totally fine. I think our ship and our nickname and our colour are really good because they're identifiable. It's rare. And you must have this kind of with Grimsby being like the mariners and the fish thing. It's like, it's a nice identity. We're not searching for like the Reds or do you know what I mean? Even like Cardiff being the Bluebirds, it's just your colour. It's not an identifiable thing of your team.
Weirdly, my mum said that on we had Grimsby versus Wimbledon on Monday, last game of the season. And mum was like, "Oh, I quite like this. You've got Mighty Mariner down there and the Womble." Is he called like Keith the Womble or something?
Right. Yeah.
And she was like, "It's just quite nice, isn't it? That you know we've got identifiable mascots," and which yes. I guess goes on to have Plymouth got a mascot? What have you got?
Yeah, Pilgrim.
Oh,
Pete.
Pilgrim Pete.
Pilgrim is an incredibly good mascot, I think.
So I think he's not changing either.
No, because he's been going. Well, he was one of the. It felt like one of the early mascots. Do you know what I mean? Before all clubs, I mean, God.
Well, he's a pilgrim.
Exactly.
He's going to be in pretty early.
Exactly.
Older than any of the American ones, let me tell you that for nothing.
Exactly. He's been great. He's never changed. There's no feeling of, there's been no corporate rebrand of Pilgrim Pete. You know, he was one of the early ones, and I think that's to be applauded. Also, to be a pilgrim is such a fun mascot because it's just not really a thing as a cartoon. You know what I mean? It's normally a animal or an object or something.
It's nice when it's sometimes also he's quite normal looking for a bloke mascot. Normally when it's a mascot of a man, they're so horrible to look at.
But
Pilgrim Pete seems like a laugh.
He looks like he's been really animated. Do you know what I mean? He's been designed well.
Yeah, definitely. I wonder who did that. And I imagine they're not seeing much back end. I imagine they got 200 quid for a day's work back in the day.
Obviously, we will judge you, Josh, me and Reese, but also the supercomputer has to just give you a little situation, a scenario just to throw up, just to see how you deal with being, you know, an owner. Reese, has the supercomputer given you the scenario there?
Yeah, this scenario has come up, Josh. It says, football fans love nostalgia. And of course, the Plymouth fans are no different. They've been very excited by this nostalgic throwback vibe you've brought into the club.
Great.
Unfortunately, it has attracted a new type of fan and emboldened a certain old type of fan.
Oh,
fans
God.
Who love the past, who say things like, it was much better back then and this country's gone to the dogs. They've hijacked your club as a representation of all things yesteryear, like wearing braces, drinking baby sham and homophobia. They come to all games with Brexit means Brexit signs. Yeah, the first two are fine, actually. They bring in Brexit means Brexit signs to games. They heckle any foreign players. And they also are demanding nostalgic prices. How do you turn your club image around and prove this is not the kind of retro that you're looking for?
Well, I'd say anyone who's been on the Plymouth Argyle message boards would know the Brexit means Brexit fans are already there.
Yeah, it's not a new type of fan.
It's not a new type of fan, but it's worrying that we've been hijacked as a kind of a kind of step back into a better Britain. Mm. I suppose what I'd have to do is because it's 1996, really, is the kind of period we're going back to.
It's a great year.
It's a great year. So I'm going to get rid of my no cocaine advert because let's be honest. What could be more 1996 culturally than cocaine? If anyone was following culture at the time. And I'd replace it with a picture of Tony Blair and Gordon Brown on the center of the shirt.
Yeah, fine.
And I think that would deal with that kind of audience because they're very pro-Europe, very... not very woke, middle range woke,
just normal normal nice people.
To clarify, to get rid of, Josh, a sort of maybe slightly aggressive atmosphere on the touch lines, you're bringing back cocaine.
I'm not bringing back cocaine. It never went away.
And to sort of really emphasise that you are a nostalgic club, but in a nice way, you're going to advertise New Labour.
Yes, I am.
Okay. I like it. I think it'll work. I just think it's an interesting tactic based on the logic of the rest of the episode.
No, and also our slogan, because of the way I'm taking the club, is things can only get worse.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
I think I've done a really good job, actually.
We're going to put it into the supercomputer.
And it's certainly not out to you.
Supercomputer, of course, always analyzes the data, the supercomputer, yeah. And it lets us know if you're a fit and proper person to run a football club. So, Lloyd, if you'd press enter on the supercomputer.
Yeah, sure, 1 second. It's saying fit and proper. Absolutely no issues whatsoever.
Yes.
Said a very straightforward.
Doesn't surprise me.
Very straightforward decision from us. It says us. Weird. From the supercomputer. absolutely on brand. And the cocaine thing. There was a few little glitches on the heart monitor there, but.
Well, the thing with the cocaine thing is I'm not going pro-cocaine. I'm just not mentioning it. Like, the only problem is I brought up that I was going to go anti-cocaine and then I had to get rid of that. So we're operating on a...
well, I think we know which
we're
bit
still
we're...
still anti. We're just not putting it on our...
I think we know which
shirts.
Bit we're clipping up. no context, fit and proper.
Yeah.
Yeah, the supercomputer always favours a sort of modest ambitions, though, because, you know, it's when people are too ambitious, they have to go to real extremes to try to achieve them. But all you're doing is just keeping Neil Warnock in employment, and the supercomputer bloody loves that.
Exactly. Keeps him off the streets.
Well, I'm looking forward to. Why you should have some sort of Mandela House suite or something in.
Oh yeah, that'd be nice, and like. If we do win a trophy, the Overtop bus tour's in one of those three-wheelers.
Oh, lovely.
You know, we did our Overtop bus tour of Plymouth on Monday.
Well, I looked at the BBC coverage, but there wasn't that much of it. did it really happen?
And the team and the management arrived on yachts into the harbour.
Wow.
Get the Mayflower out.
Yeah. Why? Imagine stepping off a yacht onto a bus and that's your celebration.
Yeah, exactly.
Just stay on the yacht, you idiots.
Love that.
You know the video for Rio and Simon Le Bon's like on the front of the yacht? Just that's how I envisage it. Just in a kind of
Plymouth
crisp white suit. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, Josh, I cannot, for one, wait to come down the
Devon. You'd love it, Lloyd. You'd absolutely love it.
I would. The 1996. As long as you're playing You're Gorgeous by Baby Bird.
Exactly. The music in the speakers, which you can barely hear.
Oh, lovely.
There'd be absolutely no phone coverage so that when they read out the halftime scores, that's the first time you're hearing them, like back in the day.
And I certainly won't be coming at Christmas because the Devon Expressway is an absolute shit show.
Yes.
So a lovely little summer jaunt. Me and Reese will be there.
Great. I'll be there. I'll accept any pasty brand that you have on offer.
Great. Enjoy.
Josh, thank you very much for coming on Fit and Proper.
Thanks for having me.
Great that you're Fit and Proper.
I've loved it.
And good luck with Championship football.
Oh, thank God. Fingers crossed, eh?
Well, I think we saw that coming, didn't we?
As expected, of course, Josh was going to go down. I mean, it's one of those rare ones of this podcast where he actually kind of didn't change much because it was like, no, I'm keeping that. I'm keeping the badge. I'm keeping the nickname, keeping the mascot. Most people come in and they, you know, they go haywire. That's a proper football fan to me.
Halfway through that podcast, I was thinking you and I, Reece, should have done Josh Widdicombe bingo and just had phrases, names, people, places. For me, Tony Blair and Gordon Brown.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I did notice that Graham Coxon got a mention somehow.
Obviously, Graham Coxon
on this football podcast.
Graham Coxon absolutely got a mention. So we could have had at least three or four things ticked off. All in all,
Warnock, Devon Expressway, all of the hitters.
In a way, I think pretty much exactly what I'd do to Grimsby, really. Just
really, okay. Yeah. Just go back to '96.
Just nostalgia, but with guns, is what I'd do. So
with guns,
what? Yeah.
With guns, did you say?
Yeah, with guns, yeah. Oh, wait, for the away fans.
You'd give the away fans guns. This is why we haven't booked you on this podcast, actually.
Well, I do. Well,
you can't be trusted.
Grimsby, you have to go through.
Not fit and proper.
You have to go through a residential area, and I'd give the residents guns. So it's kind of like, you know, like paintballing. You know, they've got to get from one end to the other. I'd do it like that. Which, you know what? We should interview each other for this one day, but maybe get a guest host in.
Nah.
Okay, cool, brilliant. All right. Well, I guess we'll never do Grimsby and Tottenham then, will we?
See you next week, everyone. Make sure to, you know, give it a little review if you like. And also if you don't like.
5 stars.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.